kleiner Kator. Tenakwe, Peter. Te kai karakia I tēnā rā. Tēnā koe, team. I tō waiata. Tēnā koe, Pip. I tō kōrero. Ko mihi au ki a Natara. I think. Ko Ruahini, ko Tararua, Ngā Pai, Maanga, ko Manawatū, Te Awa, ko Whakapono, Te Waka, ko Ohine Marae, Te Ohine Marae, ko Gateways, Te Whare Kai Karakia, ko tuna te whānau, ko meri, tōku wahine, ko hanatana, tōku ingoa. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. All that to say, my name is Jono, or Jonathan, or Hanatana, if you're Māori. And it's a great thrill to be here today and to celebrate on All Nations Day. I think it's a great idea. I think we all could have made more of an effort, couldn't we? Eh? We could have made more of an effort. If I'd known, I would have worn my other shirt. But it is great to be with God's people. I just loved your heart of worship this morning. Wow. Something really shifting in this space. Amen? And it really needs to in these days because we are living in amazing times, aren't we? Are you excited? It's exciting times to be alive. You know, these are the times that Isaiah spoke of when he said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples of the earth. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Isn't that awesome? So this is a time for shining. And it's not a makeup thing, but, okay, all right, it's supposed to be a joke, but it's all right, you'll get with me eventually. It's a time for you to shine with the shining of the Lord, amen, and for people to notice that you're shining, and what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with you? The world's a mess, like Pip said. So why are you shining? Because we're not looking at what's happening in the world, amen. You know, it's interesting, it says in Isaiah 42:16 as well, it's just another verse there, I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. Amen? Let me read that again. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. It's a time to shine. But you know, you can't just shine because it's a good idea, and you can't just shine because Isaiah says you should. You can only shine if you've got the light. And this morning here, this is the verse I want to share with you this morning. It's John 8:12. If you've got a Bible or you've got an electronic device, please take it out and have a look. If you haven't got that with you, shame. No shame. But John 8 is my verse at the moment. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And what I've discovered in recent days recent couple of years is many of God's people are walking in darkness. They can tell you more about what's happening in the darkness than they can tell you about what Jesus is doing. They can tell you what's happening in Europe. They can tell you all the things that are wrong with the government. They can tell you the list of conspiracies that we should be concerned about. But they can't tell you what Jesus is doing. They're not walking in the light of life. They're walking in darkness. Jesus said, "He who follows me will not walk in darkness." So I've discovered a lot of followers aren't following. Just have to have a conversation with people for a little while and they'll tell you what's going on. What's going on in the world? And people keep sending us links. We keep sending us links to certain places that we've just got to go and check out because it's really serious, even though we can't do anything about it. But we should know, because ignorance is not bliss. You need to be well informed. You need to understand. You need to understand there's a great conspiracy out there. Well, you know, I learned that when I was a new Christian and the navigators told me that the devil has a great conspiracy going on in the world. I've been a Christian almost 50 years. I've known that there was a conspiracy for 50 years. And they worked out in all kinds of different ways. You know, I grew up in the 60s. The great conspiracy there was free love. We're reaping the rewards of that one today, aren't we? There's no such thing as free love. It costs you your life. Doesn't matter which way you approach free love. It costs you your life. If you want to know the love of God, it costs you your life. And if you want to be free to explore other forms, it costs you your life as well. He who walks with me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So where's your light? You know, the thing about darkness, it floods in to smother and stifle faith in us. But this is a prompt for us, when you start to feel like that, to arise and shine. The best thing to do when darkness tries to come in is move in the opposite spirit. Turn on the light. When you meet your Christian friends for coffee and they start to tell you the latest thing that they've discovered through the world wide web of deceit, turn on the light and say, "Well, let me tell you what God's been saying to me." Do you know, I got a great scripture recently for it. It's Isaiah 30. You can look at it later, about the first four verses. And the first four verses talk about the curse that comes upon the people of God because they go down to Egypt and they lived under the shadow of Egypt. And in verse four, it says, it leaves you in confusion. Folks, now if you read up further on in Isaiah chapter 30, it tells you all the great promises for the people of God who are living in the light and walking in the light. But God's people have a tendency to be more impressed about what's happening in Egypt than what's happening in the heavenly realms. My message for you this morning is, Jesus is the light of the world. He who follows him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Your children who are not walking with Jesus will come back to the Lord in these times because you have the light of life, not because you keep rehearsing what's wrong with the government. In fact, grumpy Christians are the worst advert for the kingdom of God. Our kids will follow. You know, it's interesting when you're a pastor and you have kids, because pastors' kids are especially loved by God. They're victims of Christians. They've been picked on since the moment they could discern the scowl of the Christian, because pastors' kids should be. And the thing about pastors' kids is they know all the spin. They know all the stuff that goes on. They are particularly offended by the way that people treated their parents. Many of them walk away from the Lord. But you know, if you just keep walking in the light, eventually pastor's kids come back and say, "Dad, what do you think about this? Dad, what do you think about that?" I have been amazed at how our middle-aged children talk to us more deeply about the things that are going on in the world than they ever did. They didn't want to know us when they were teenagers because they knew more than us. But now they're in their 40s with kids themselves, they've realized how much they don't know, and as long as you keep shining the light, they come to the light. Stop worrying about your kids. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, "You will be saved and your household, but only if you shine the light." Yeah? And don't worry about what gender they're identifying with at the moment. Listen, we're not going to get them totally fixed. We're just going to get them saved. Some people enter into heaven whole. Some people enter into heaven with brokenness. As long as we get them to heaven, that's the main thing. A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, told me years ago, "Remember, Jono, you can't always save a marriage, but make sure you save the soul." Yes, we're the moral police often of people's choices, and we need to stop doing that and just get them to heaven. Amen? They might not stop smoking, doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. I've got to tell you something. We tolerate grumpy deacons, but we persecute the smoker. And my Bible says that an angry man is more in the danger of the fires of hell than someone that's got a bit of an addiction problem to a cigarette. And yet we tolerate grumpy, angry Christians. What's wrong with us? I only said the first line. What am I going to do now? This darkness that pervades the world is a prompt to us to respond to Isaiah 60 and begin to shine. But the shining is only possible when one is reflecting the light of his presence by walking with him. This light of life is generated from communion and fellowship rather than from teaching and instruction. You know, one of the things that I've discovered, and I'm a retired pastor now, it's a lovely feeling. People said, "How do you feel now that you're retired? Don't you miss, you know, being in charge?" I said, "No." I said, I haven't preached in our church since the beginning of 2020. I sit there and I watch everybody else worrying about it all. And I don't have to go to any meetings. You know, there's no meetings. It's just wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling. I do get to preach occasionally, especially when the pastor forgets to get someone organized to preach. So, you know, you get asked if you can fill in. And I'm happy to fill in. But, you know, my experience with church life is that people always think we need more teaching. We need more teaching in this church. We need more deep teaching in this church. No, 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 you don't. You don't need more teaching. You need more encounter. More encounter with Jesus and more encounter with each other. You don't encounter people when you're sitting in rows like this. You just look at the back of their head. Do you notice how good their hairdo is or isn't? But when you go out and have coffee afterwards, that's when you encounter, unless you run away quickly to the car park and get home so that you don't have to encounter people. Your Christianity is not an individual activity. You can't be a Christian on your own. Seriously, you can't. You can get to heaven on your own by trusting in Jesus, but you can't be a Christian, because to be a Christian, you need to be knitted into the body and connected with people who are imperfect, just like you. And that rubbing up and down against those irritating ones that still think this or that. See, I'm not going to give you ammunition, but But rubbing up and down, that is part of God's process. It's not the people you like that help you to become great followers of Jesus. It's the people that irritate the hang out of you. Because that's where you have to draw on his grace to be like him. Graham Cook, a prophetic guy from a number of years ago for us, said to us, God will always send grace growers into your church. And more especially for the pastor. Because he needs the most grace. It's not more teaching and instruction that we need. It's more connection and encounter and fellowship and revelation of who he is in and around us. So that we can walk in the light just as he is in the light. Amen? In fact, it's our relational connection that really provokes us to shine. You know, you can't shine very well on your own. You know, and one thing that the pandemic has taught Christians is that sitting at home watching whoever, who should we say, Joyce Meyer, is a nice controversial name, sitting at home watching Joyce Meyer on the TV feeds your mind but doesn't feed your spirit. Because the spirit is fed by the community that you walk with in Jesus. You're truly fed by community, by communion and community, not by information. And the trouble is those who live out of their minds are satisfied with information, but those who are really connected with their heart can really sense a deficit when there's no communion or community. That's why so many people have come back to church who were not going to church, and people that were going to church have stopped. It's really interesting, isn't it? We had a whole lot of new people come back when we started having meetings, and we had a whole lot of people that didn't bother coming back. Interesting. So this darkness is designed by the enemy to rob you of your identity as part of the body of Christ. It's not just walking with Jesus, it's walking with people as well. And you've got to find the people that you want to walk with, and don't look for perfect people. There isn't such a thing. Not yet, anyway. We will be perfect one day. I'm waiting for that day. You know, the thing I loved about Matariki last week, did you recognize Matariki last week? Yeah, we did too. So one of the things I love most about Matariki is that it's a time for feasting. And you can tell I've been following Matariki for a number of years. This is not my first year. It's not my first year, but you can't do feasting on your own. That's called gluttony. Feasting is what you do with other people. Sharing the joy and the fellowship of food together. Amen? But the enemy wants to come in and he wants to flood your heart and your life and your mind with anxiety and darkness and despair and hopelessness. And he wants to quench the faith that you have that living in the last days is the best time to be alive for this generation of Christians. And if it's not, go to heaven. If this is not your time, then you better check out and go to heaven. Because grumpy, dull Christians are not helpful to the agenda of Jesus in the world at the moment. We're to be shining and bright. We're to be ridiculously positive about what is about to take place in our world. Not what is about to take place, not what Putin's going to do next, or not what Jacinda's going to do next, or not that stuff, but what God is doing. And folks, if you want to see what God is doing, you've got to look for it rather than be overwhelmed by the propaganda of darkness. The big problem for us, well, hang on, I better check the time. Big problem for us, I won't go too long. And if I do, you don't have to invite me back. The big problem for us is that we are called to be the lights. Now, Jesus said that he was the light of the world, but then further down in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the light of the world. Jesus is not walking around in his earthly body anymore. We have become that body. And we are now the light of the world, unless you're not. So when you walk with Jesus, you just don't walk in darkness. You reflect automatically the light of hope by being in fellowship with him. Do you know that the Pharisees and the non-believers in the days of the early church could see these unlearned men had been with Jesus? What could they see? Light. Hope. Miracles. We are the light of the world. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We are Pentecostals, remember. So Jesus used this metaphor of light. You know, the world uses this as a mystical term, uses this mystical term of enlightenment. Enlightenment doesn't mean being the light of the world to them. But you know, it's a good term because I've discovered that many Christians are not enlightened, they're just regurgitating programming. They know the right scripture to quote at a particular time, especially to show how educated they are. But do you know, Jesus never ever quoted a scripture in his life, did you know that? He used to say, it is written. He might have said once, I think, in the book of Isaiah, but he never quoted a chapter and verse. He knew the scripture because he'd spoken it. But he didn't have to impress everybody by memorizing the chapter. Well, actually, in his time, the scriptures didn't have chapters and verses. It is written. If you're worried about, did I quote it right, just ask Uncle Google. I often say it is written. Can't quite remember where it is, but I know it's written. And when I check Google, I find out exactly where it is, and that helps me. I mean, I do know a lot of scripture. Pastors have to do that stuff, you know. So, but being the light of the world isn't knowing the scriptures. It's knowing him. Him. When someone comes to you and needs help, they don't need a scripture. They need him. Can you lay your hands on them and bring forth an encounter that affects a solution in their lives? Or can you just quote scriptures? Now, sometimes the scripture is the encounter. I give you that. But it's only when it's prompted by him, not when it's just coming out of your memory. You can quote all the scriptures about healing your life you like, but it's actually your testimony of actually healing the sick that causes people to realize that maybe coming to you might help. I love you. But we have to be light, especially in here because it's so dark. I know there are people in here that don't like the black box. I can tell by your age group. But be the light. Wouldn't it be awesome if we actually had a supernatural thing happen in this place where we could say, now turn off the lights because we're going to be the lights this morning. And we're all shining. Wouldn't that be awesome? We're due for some really supernatural, freaky stuff to happen in the church so that they start talking about us again. At the moment, they just talk about what we're anti instead of what we're for. They're not talking about the light. Oh yeah, those Christians, they're anti this and they're anti that. We've got to stop being the anti group and start being the shining group. Crazy shining group. Like the young guy who came into our church years ago now, unfortunately, but it is a true story. He came into our church. He was so freaked out in the first 2 minutes, he ran out the back door and vowed that he would never come back to our church. He had a traditional church background, but he found himself the next Sunday uncontrollably giving in to the urge to come back to our church. And he came into our church, and during the worship, he walked right down the front And Shirley Wright, who was one of the old kuias in our church, led him to Jesus right there at the front. And he didn't even know what he was doing afterwards. He said, I don't even know why I walked to the front. He encountered something. He thought we were a pack of kooks, and we were. Crazy stuff was happening during that time. Crazy stuff. The stuff that you would not want to advertise. Do you know more people came into our church and got saved during that time than when we were respectable? Don't be afraid of crazy stuff. As long as it's authentic crazy stuff, as long as you're not play acting. You know, in the old days when I became a Christian, everybody thought it was spiritual to fall on the floor. I thought it was spiritual too because I see people fall on the floor and go, wow. And then I went to a meeting with Frank Houston, and Frank Houston prayed for this man and he fell on the floor, and he says, every time I pray for this man, he falls on the floor, and it's because he's got sin in his life and he can't stand before the presence of God. I didn't want to fall. I would stand like this. I'm not going to fall on the floor. People might think I've got sin in my life. You know how it was in the old charismaniac days when you sort of thought, well, that's the spiritual thing to do. We'll copy that. Bit of shubba shubba here and a bit of shubba shubba there. Folks, if ever we needed to be authentic, it's now. And if you feel like your light is not particularly bright, it's a time to seek him. To seek him until you're so shiny, people fall down when you walk into the supermarket. Seriously, I'm not joking. Happened to Peter, and look how he started. He was pathetic when he started. But eventually, because of his time spent with him, he was so shiny. Not shiny with a light that you can see in the naked eye, but so shiny with the presence of God that people would fall down when he walked past. Now, falling down is not the evidence. The evidence is, do they encounter Jesus, in your words, in your kindness, in your compassion? You may not be a words person, but when they meet you, is it for them like meeting the Savior? That's the days we're living in, folks. We don't need to hide from the darkness, we just need to shine. Turn the darkness into light. Oh, I've said all that, and I've said that, and I've said that. I said that. I said it better. Do you know, the light of his presence is only accessible relationally. Do you know, you've come to the church. Do you ever come to church and you're thinking, I just really want to come into the presence of God this morning? Do you ever have that feeling? Good. Because whenever you come into each other's presence, you come into the presence of God. But do you perceive it, or are you looking for something else? See, the presence of God is not always perceived, well, it's rarely perceived initially by phenomenon. The presence of God is perceived spiritually first. And then it can manifest in ways that are measurable by physical measurement, you know, like a feeling or, blue smoke, the Shekinah glory, whatever. We perceive the presence of God because whenever two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. But you have to train yourself to perceive that as a reality instead of looking for something else. Whenever you meet for coffee with your Christian, are you coming into that place where the two of you, if you are not too freaked out, if you hold hands across the table and close your eyes, although you don't have to close your eyes, and agree together, something will happen. Because whenever two or three pray concerning anything, Jesus said, my Father will do it. Anything. I looked up anything in the dictionary. It means anything. Fix my husband, Lord. Help me pay the electricity bill. always overcomes darkness at 186,000 miles per second. Unless you're not. Jesus said this, I haven't got the verse here, I don't think. He says, see to it that the light in you be not darkness. And if it be darkness, how great is the darkness? You can measure it by your fear and intimidation levels. You know how much darkness is in you by your fear and intimidation levels. God doesn't want you to live there. Being light is the key. It's not something we try to do or can do in our humanity. Being light is a reflection of having been with the one or being with the one who is the light. It's the same as Moses' face shining because he'd been in the presence of God. It's the same as when they looked at Stephen as he was being stoned and was falling down to die. He looked into heaven and beheld the glory of God and it shone upon his face. Freak people out. The light is unmistakably the result of presence rather than learning. The light is unmistakably the result of presence rather than learning. Is God's presence in your home? Do you cultivate his presence in your house so that when people come in, they say, wow, so peaceful here. Wow, I just feel really calm when I'm in your house. Wow, what is it about you and Mary? Sometimes I get in the flesh and I say things, well, we're foodies. No, that's not it. We just like having him around and we like to talk to him all day long. We don't just confine him to 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night. We walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. We include him in everything. Do you know... Don't be shocked online. You probably will be shocked online, but tough. He talks to me in the toilet. It's because I'm still being quiet. God speaks to me. Of course, most of the time I don't tell people that, you know, because it sounds more spiritual to say, I was alone. I was alone with the Lord, and he spoke to me. You know, you don't give the details, but... He talks to us when we're not trying to be spiritual, because sometimes our trying creates the barrier or the noise that blocks his speaking. Stop trying to be Christians. Just be. In fact, the problem with trying to be Christians is we always try to be what we think we should be instead of just being. You compare yourself. I should be more like so-and-so. I should be more like this. I should be more like that. You are the light of the world. You're okay. You're okay not because inherently you are, I was going to say special. You are special because that's, how shall I say that differently? You're okay because of the one who lives in you and moves in you and wants to have his being in you. So that you can be an extension of him. So here's the evidence. I'm just coming to the end now. The greatest evidence in these days that we are not walking in darkness but have the light of life is peace. It's his peace. It's amazing how many people that you talk to can't sleep at night. They're on medication to sleep. I know when you get older, sometimes you need a bit of help. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about young people who can't sleep because they're anxious. They've spent so much time on their screen, their eyes are, you know, they're overstimulated. They can't lie down and go to sleep. anxious, tense. The levels of mental illness in our society are through the roof because people can't find peace. Walking in the light with him, the light of life, the evidence of the light of life, one of the main evidences is peace. Another one is love. Another one is joy. Another one is kindness, gentleness. You know, we always quote the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, but we don't go on to the rest. Kindness, gentleness. Sometimes being part of a faith community is to be assaulted with criticism and judgment. A lack of kindness and gentleness. Even Paul, the great corrector, said if you correct someone, you should do it in a spirit of gentleness. By all means, correct. But do it nicely. Years ago, there was a pastor, a good friend of ours. He was in our church before he was a pastor. And he said to me, I've learned one thing about being a pastor for 20 years. I said, what's that, Peter? He said, I've learned it's better to be nice than right. Are you nice? Or are you obsessed with being right? I've discovered as I've got older that it's not so important to be right anymore, because I'm confident that God will lead his people into all truth, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to guide you into all truth. I can ask a question, but I don't have to fix everybody's attitude, because the Holy Spirit will convict and he will lead into all truth. I want to pray for you this morning that you have the light of life. You can't pretend this, so you don't have to work on this. Please don't go away and say, I've got to really work on having the light of life. No, you don't have to work on this. Just come into his presence and say, I want to know you more. And don't work at it. You know, if I had to work at my marriage, really be hard work. In fact, you know, the love of a husband and wife is a kind of insanity. You know that, don't you? Because if you try to actually work out why do you love this person, if you try to list it, you can list out attributes, you know, you can list out those things. You can say, well, she's a really good cook, or she looks after me really well, or I like her sense of humour. But when you get right past all those attributes, what is it that makes you love this person? And it's a connection, it's a spiritual connection. That's what it is. That's why the Bible says when you get married, you let no man try to break it, because it's a spiritual connection. The two become one. That's why all these faults that you see in me, they all came from her. I want you to come and stand up with me, Dale. Just to better redeem the moment. You see, when you get involved with Jesus, he starts to change you. Some of the change is imperceptible. Some of it requires a decision. And I would like to encourage you, because we are the people of God. There's no doubt about it. You know, going to heaven, I said this to Peter early, going to heaven is easy. Getting to heaven, it's very simple. You just have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, and that on the third day he rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you believe that and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. It's easy to get saved. It's just much harder to walk through this life as a child of God, because every day you have to make decisions about how you're going to do that. But if we make this one decision to make Jesus our number one priority, walking with him in the person of the Holy Ghost, you know, it says in Galatians 5, since we live by the Spirit, let us learn to walk by or keep in step with the Spirit. It's a journey of relationship with him. If we do that, our relationships with one another flourish as well, because we look at each other through different eyes. We see something in each other that's different from comparison or judgment or... I hear that bell. Is that the end bell, is it? It's time to finish. But I just want to say to you, when we pray for you in these next moments, don't make big promises to God. Just say, God, I surrender my agenda to your agenda. And it's just a scary prayer because you don't know where it's going to take you. You know, people said to me, I want more faith. If you want more faith, you've got to surrender to more faith. Faith doesn't come by effort. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, by the rhema of Jesus in your ear, and you get that through surrender. If you want more love, you surrender to love. If you want more patience, you surrender. We surrender to the realities of God. In the world, you take it. But in the kingdom of God, you surrender. And I've discovered that that's how love grows between a man and a woman. You surrender to one another and stop trying to win the battle of who's right and who's wrong. Some of my greatest moments have come from listening to my wife. Because we're a team. The two are one. It's not just Jono and Mary. It's J and M. One in him, called to walk with him, to be with him, to reflect him. Amen. Just before we pray, do you have something to share, my darling?
I just... the thing that the Lord's really been speaking to me about recently is listening to his voice. I think in church we can get really caught up with study and praying, but do we listen and hear his voice? And I just want to share, I know we're probably going over time a wee bit, about what the sort of things that God is speaking to me about, because I think they're very relevant to most people here today. I felt the Lord say to me, it is more important than ever to submit to and focus on me and my ways, to hear my voice and follow after me. I want you to seek my face together, to hear my voice together, to walk in my ways together. When you isolate yourself, you are responding to the enemy's tactics of separation and division. I desire unity and oneness with me. Oneness is discovered in relationship. Distance is amplified with religion. Religion should be the outworking of a relationship in a giving out of the overflow of what I pour into you. When religion comes first, it has a form of godliness but no power. When my power and authority is missing, it provides a vacuum for deception. Walk in the light as I am in the light, and the overflow will be fellowship with one another that comes from the flow of fellowship with me. When issues and concerns become a consuming focus, then you begin to focus on darkness and its work, and that hinders you from hearing my voice and walking with me. The constant renewal of the mind is essential for my people to be empowered to walk with me and hear my voice, the voice of truth.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're children. Some of us are much older than we perceive children as being, but Lord, in your sight, we are all your children. And we all need a direction, a sense of purpose, a sense of hope, a sense of security, a sense that our life has meaning and is going somewhere worthwhile. But all of this flows from the light that is projected from your heart to ours. And so, Lord, we want to truly have this light of life that you promise as we follow you. We want to have the freedom from walking in darkness so that everything around us seems as noonday And so, Father, this morning, we open our hearts to you in a fresh way. Lord, all of us here, many of us have known you a long time, but Lord, we open our hearts because we need a fresh encounter with you as the truth, with you as the way, with you as the life. Not just as a concept, not just as a principle, but as a reality in each of our personal lives. Lord, we want to shine, not so that we can see the shining in a mirror, but so that what others see gives them hope, gives them peace, gives them acceptance and compassion. We want our lives to reflect your heart and purpose to all those around us, not just to our families, but to the stranger, to the angry, frustrated, to the lost, to the isolated. Oh God, your world so much needs your light, and we are the only ones that can bring it forth as we surrender to the Lordship of your presence. And we ask you, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Here we are this morning, your church, your people. We're not asking specifically for ourselves. We don't just want to have a happy life, a secure life. Lord, we want our lives to shine so that those in darkness around us can enter into something much, much better. And so I wonder if you feel you can, would you pray simply with me? Father God, this morning we come before you. In the name of Jesus. And by the power of the Spirit of God, we say more, Lord. More awareness. More encounter. More experience of your presence in our lives. We know that you're there, Lord. We just want a greater revelation. And so we surrender to the Lordship of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, here am I. Reveal yourself in and around me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If that's you, I want you to stand. If it wasn't you, you can stand as well. You don't have to, but you know, we need to respond. And I just love the song that the team sang earlier this morning about being light and having light. Just love that song. So I've asked them to do it again. So just lead us in that. And make this a consecration. Make this a fresh consecration this morning. That we are the people of the light. And we are going to shine. Because he has called us to. We are arising. And we agree with you, Lord, to shine. In Jesus' name.